henceforth, the interim commission tabled recommendations, our commissioners tabled recommendations. These recommendations include initiatives such as interaction at political level and between ministerial portfolios. We have submitted pictorial appendices to visit reports, aim to bring further decay and facilities to the attention of the minister. If one bears in mind, through the co-chairs, that I listened last week to the presentation made by Brigadier General Gardner and the issues of the issue of facilities was also raised there. It's an ongoing concern. I'm not quite sure at what level how we deal with that issue. The Commission is also aware on a visit reported compiled by Director of Operational Health and Safety within the Department of Defence, HR Division, following a visit to facilities of the Joint Support Base in Talatswani, and also further that, in response dated 2 August 2018, the Minister indicated that no findings and recommendations with financial implications may be published in the Government Gazette without her approval, in order to avoid unrealistic expectations amongst uniform members. So these are some of the difficulties around the renovation of and upgrading of facilities within the National Defence Force. Question 9, please, IT people. Thank you. The question is, committee inquired around the Commission's involvement in recommendations regarding the development of exit mechanisms for members of the Defence Force. This is our response. The Commission recommended further investigation into exit mechanisms applied during our visit we had to Namibia in 2015. We also did research and other models within the South African development community. Question 10, please. Question 10, thank you. The committee requested more information regarding progress made with the Commission's recommendations regarding delinking of salary from rank. We also have our researchers here, so maybe if there are further follow-up questions, maybe I could ask the particular individual, our Deputy Chair, Commissioner Sapoloza, who I think is on, she's able to comment on that, and also our research person, one of our researchers, Mr. Magubani. But let me read how we responded to this. I'll read you the full version. Subsequent to the tabling of the recommendation by the Commission, it remains the prerogative of the Minister to consult and take decisions based on the recommendations. First recommendation was published on delinking salary from rank was tabled by the Interim Commission during 2013. The cost then of implementation to the DOD was estimated at around 1.45, found to be far too costly. The intention of this particular recommendation was to delink salary from rank across the entire spectrum. However, the Commission reviewed this particular recommendation to find a more cost-effective model on delinking. This resulted in a recommendation that targeted specific SANDF members who were stagnant in rank across all ranks for a number of years, 15 years or more. In 2016, the estimated cost for implementation was 87 million rand. The Chief of Human Resource presented a modified version of the model proposed by the Commission to National Treasury without consulting the Commission. Obviously, the funding was for this proposal was declined. And then the last thing, the Commission published in the Government Gazette in June 2017 its recommendation on delinking from salary from rank. Following the publication, no official decision was communicated by the Minister. At this point, co-chairs, I don't know whether from your side whether you want me to continue or me to ask Commissioner Shaffer, the Deputy Chair, or the researcher, just to elaborate a little bit more. It's up to you, Chair. How are you feeling? You want us to proceed?
Yes, Chair of the Commission, just proceed, because okay. Some of the matters will still arise in your presentation as during the discussion.
Good. Thank you very much, Kwache. Thank you. Right. The next question, may I put up question, I think it's question 10, or question 11. Thank you. I'll read the question. Concern was raised with regards to the kind and age of equipment the Defence Force is using. Members bemoan the fact that the Commission, that the SANDF rather, is using old equipment, inquired about the role of the Commission in influencing the Department to acquire new equipment. Members were also concerned that a large portion of the defence budget is going to salaries as compared to equipment. We're aware that the Commission is aware that our response was that old, unserviceable and ineffective Department of Defence equipment did pronounce itself through several findings and recommendations reports in this regard, as well as the Director Defence Reserves and Defence Review Implementation Team, Project Team, dropped conducted extensive research and made some pronouncements and initiatives to obtain additional funding for the department. The sourcing of additional funding initiatives intended to amplify the procurement of effective tools of trade, the renovation and maintenance of facilities in order to enhance the effectiveness and combat readiness profile of the Defence Force. And then lastly, the Commission is conversant with item 10 budgetary requirements and is aware of the depreciating special defence account to make provision for item 10. Again, when I listened to Brigadier General Gardner's presentation last week or 10 days ago, they make the same point. He makes the same point around the equipment, and I heard members of the Portfolio Committee also raising their concerns. Question 12, please. IT people? Thank you. Question 12. The committee agreed with the Commission on the recommendation that remuneration and service benefits for the Defence Force members should be determined independently from the rest of the public service. Has this been discussed in other spheres of government? Our response was the Commission engaged with the Department of Public Service and Administration during 2019, and it was agreed we would have further meetings to discuss this. At this point in time, the Commissioner, retired Major General Bantu Kolomis, proposed a sitting of the Portfolio Committee in August 2019 that a work session between the Minister and ourselves to discuss, among other issues, remuneration, public and specific benefits for the SANDF members. What we try and do is we make a recommendation to the Minister, which is locked into a three-year cycle. At the same time, the human resources component of the SANDF also do that. They look at ours, they write a letter to the Minister saying it's been agreed the public service that in broad terms, for argument's sake, 3.5 increase, annual increase. Then the chief of human resources writes a letter to the minister, and that gets implemented. So in a sense, to some extent, we are made redundant in the process, and I think we need to find a way to be a bit more proactive on that issue. May I ask for question 13, please? Thank you. The committee inquired about integration of the military skills development systems, members coming into contract or permanent positions, and the role that the commission can play in this regard. The commission did not pronounce itself on contracts or permanent positions as members, as military skills development systems members per se. However, the commission recommended targeted recruitment, which could possibly result in the awarding of contracts and or permanent appointments for members. I think that's an issue that I'm sure members of the Joint Standing Committee and the Portfolio Committee want to tease out a bit further. Question 14, please. Thank you. The concern was raised about the low morale of the SANDF members, and the committee inquired into of its impact on the effectiveness of the SANDF. What, according to the commission, are reasons for the low level morale? Our response was qualitative morale surveys on attitudes and opinions are conducted by a directorate called Effect Analysis within the Department of Defense Inspectorate Division and is conducted by seasoned researchers and trained field workers on an annual basis. The intention of table findings and recommendations to the executive authority, which fall mainly within the ambit of conditions of service, is to, amongst others, have a positive effect on the morale of the SANDF members. The Commission tabled its recommendations based on findings during consultative as well as follow-up visits to military bases and units. Where matters can be resolved or addressed within military within baselines, strategies are recommended to the General Officer Commanding or the Officer Commanding to address such issues. Such internal issues refers to conditions of service which could have an impact on the morale of members. The reasons for the low levels of morale are denoted in the surveys. The Commission agrees that reasons of low levels of morale may include conditions of service, but also it is of the opinion that morale can be affected by many other concerns, inclusive of psychological, physical, and personal issues. Question 15, please. Thank you. Question was, can the security incidents at military bases be linked to the morale of soldiers? Another issue was, has the Commission made investigations into this regard? Our response was, working environments and facilities which include security listed as a condition of service in the Defence Amendment Act does have an effect on the morale of soldiers as security is fundamental to the working, recreational and accommodation environment. During its consultative visits, the Commission observed the state of security across military bases, units, hospitals and border security operational areas. The Commission tabled findings and recommendations regarding dilapidated and broken fences around military bases, absence of effective base security, lack of inappropriate tools of trade, weapons and ammunition, and the lack of shooting exercises, to name a few. Question 16. Thank you. Again, the question was, continuous training is necessary to enforce morale and efficiency. Is this effective in the SANDF? has the Commission made inquiries in this regard? Our response to that was, the Commission concurs with the notion that the Joint Standing Committee that continuous training is necessary for an effective defence force. The Commission has visited a number of educational training and development bases and units. During its visits to other military bases and military hospitals, a number of concerns were raised across all ranks regarding functional, military and continuous training, instructors, training equipment and facilities. International training opportunities, nominations and acceptance of courses, to name a few. Findings and recommendations, all these aspects were tabled to the Office of the Minister. Also, recommendations to enhance the effectiveness of combat readiness of the Department of Defense during border control operations, external peacekeeping and peace enforcement operations, curricula, educational training and development centers, equipment and exercise calls were also tabled to the minister. It made recommendations, especially during regarding training, amongst others. Investigate the possibility of developing a memorandum of understanding between the Department of Defense and the Sector Education and Training Authority, CETA, for the implementation of National Skills Development Strategy, newly qualified South African Air Force pilots to obtain their required flying hours. To outsource the initial pilot training to a private airstrip subsequent to the military training phase, to investigate the possibility of rotating technicians to other Air Force servicing units or even commercial maintenance plants to retain skills. Finally, the Commission was not in a position to comment on the effectiveness or otherwise of continuous training and the impact on the morale without conducting properly effective and validated research projects on the matter. Finally, question 17, if we can have that up on the screen, please. Thank you. The Commission should also provide the committee with its expectations of the role that the committee can play to address some of the issues as listed below. Commission responded, committee will appreciate the support and input of the committee in the process to revise the Defence Amendment Act and its regulations. I've highlighted that that earlier, and the commission is acutely aware of the financial difficulties of the country and the necessity for financial constraints. Should the committee be in a position to support the revision of the secretariat structure, the Commission will be able to provide a more comprehensive program of ongoing research, continuous review, consultations and benchmarking on world-class best practices in order to provide recommendations and informed advice to the Minister on all aspects of service conditions for members of the Defence Force. That, co-chairs, is our response to the 17 questions when we last met our meeting in February. I thank you.
Thank you so much. Honourable Chabeleng? Honourable Chabeleng? I think we have lost the chair, the co-chair, and he's following the slides, but he cannot hear what we discuss. Coach, all right. It looks like we're still lost for now. All right, colleagues. These are the responses, very detailed responses to the questions that we posed last week. What is beamed up is just a summary, but the good thing is that in presenting the summary. The details were also given. That's one. And two, I was also happy that you were present when General Brigadier Gardner was making a presentation. And you are therefore familiar with the the challenges and the frustrations, as it were. So I'm happy that at least you are in the loop as far as those matters are concerned. So it means that discussions would actually be taking us a step further. And then, thirdly, we'll then deal with issues. Are you back, Honorable Chabeleng? Are you back in Chabeleng? I can see him on the screen. I think that he still has some technical glitches on his side because he cannot hear me. All right, so I will continue with the meeting. So these are the things. Let's do this. Instead of doing a follow-up, raising follow-up questions, then let's close into the presentation, right? And so that we take all the discussions on both presentations, the questions, and your formal presentations at the same time. I think that will help. If for whatever reason we think we still need further stroke detailed responses to those questions, we'll do the same thing. We'll write to you and then ask you to come back to us in writing. So I think you have documented everything so nicely that it makes our job much easier when we do a follow-up on matters. We don't rely on our memories.
Thank you very much.
Yes, so we'll do that. Let me invite you to just launch into the presentations, to your presentation for now.
Chair, we've sent a consolidated list of to Mr. Daniels. From your side, are you able to put it onto the screen?
All right, ICT, please permit up.
Can I try and do it from this side, Chair?
From which side?
Peter Daniels.
Oh, yes. Please do, Peter. Please do. ICT, Peter is going to do it.
Is that up, Chair? Can everybody see it?
He will confirm.
Yes.
Confirm it,
Chair. 100%. 100%. Confirmed. Okay. Confirmed.
I can hear you. And I can see you can see it as well. Thanks, Mr. Murray. Over to you, Mr. Robertson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. May I just preface my presentation by making some comments? We have had great difficulty in really getting serious responses from the Secretary of Defense. What we've presented is a combination of recommendations from the Interim Commission, which overlaps with the present Commission. Many of the recommendations are the same. So we've put them together. When we asked the SecDef in 2017 to provide us with a detailed report of where we are in terms of findings, he gave us almost a dashboard. So we apologize for that, but I'm sure you can understand that we have tried our best, and I just want to take you through some of these things. And maybe afterwards again.
So, Mr. Robinson, I just want to get that point. What do you mean that he gave you some dashboard, explanation? What do you mean?
In terms of if we scroll down, some of the stuff that was in amber, in green, in red, some of the recommendations that were dealt with, some of the recommendations that were not dealt with, right? And subsequent to that, the meetings were set up. But we have had no response in terms of follow-up meetings from SecDef since 2017. So this is what we have done is we've now set up a monitoring and evaluation commission to drill down and go deeper into this issue. So I just wanted to highlight that issue. Not to put anyone on the spot, but just to say these are some of the difficulties that we face.
The point is loud and clear. We will do a follow-up on your behalf.
Thank you very much, Chair. Right, can I then take you through? The first one is the relationship between the military command, and the Defence Secretariat. That was the recommendation. The responsibility, the current status was there. There was the Defence Policy and Human Resource. They deal with that issue. The Disempowerment Officers Commanding. I don't know, Chair, whether you want me to read in detail or just the heading.
Yes. Just give us information sufficient for us to understand what you are presenting without reading word for word.
And the second one is the Disempowerment of Officers Commanding. The current status is the acting chief of the reported that the bill to be presented to the state law advisors to proceed with pre-certification needs to be followed up with the legal service on that issue. The defense budget and allocation and composition, we've heard a lot about that over the past few weeks. It's basically human resources and the Secretary of Defense who need to compile that. And I heard the discussion and the Honorable Member Marais talking about we were poles apart in the Portfolio Committee. One is on the North Pole, is one in on the South Pole. And I think that was a very apt, if I may say so. I hope I'm not out of turn. So that's that one. The detail is there. Need for a defense review. We had a defense review in 1998. We had another one in 2015. And then the responsibility is the defense policy and implementation team. The role of the state of defense infrastructure. We can see I've mentioned a lot about that issue before, right? Professional health support. We've noted all of these things there. The medical health, South African Medical Health Services are dealing with that issue, right? Transport, right? The Interim Commission noted a whole lot of things. Logistics Division needs to come and report on that issue, right? Career management. Lots of the things that Brigadier General Gardner spoke about in terms of the personnel, the organization, the sustainment deals with career management. And I think it's something that as a committee and as your oversight, you need to apply your mind seriously to. Is there a real career management within the Defence Force? That's that. Around military skills development system is being reviewed and ensure that a better system is established. Responsibility is human resource management and strategic direction. On transformation issues, again, human resource and transformation management issues, they're responsible for that. The grievance mechanisms, right, with the human resources and the labor relations. Then command, control, and communication within the National Defense Force, right? Again, it's within the Secretariat Defense Policy and Military Strategy. The department has mechanisms in place to deal with these issues. Promotion and utilization. Again, human resource and career management. The remuneration and conditions of service within the Defence Force, human resources, we ourselves have, as a permanent commission, we've dealt with that issue, we've spoken about it, we've sent documents to the Minister on those issues. The technical issues there, the establishment of a Defence Force Service Commission, that's been dealt with there. That's on course. Rank audit and demilitarization of finance functionaries has been dealt with there. The total wellness of the Department of Defence there, with the South African Military Health Service. Review of the force number allocation system for members of employees on the Department of Defence. That has come up repeatedly. It's a human resource issue and the systems with CETA. There's a whole lot of issues around that. Travel insurance around death. This came as people were outside on peacekeeping missions outside the country. That's there. The improvement of conditions of service for members in the presidential medical unit, that's dealt with there. Then some of the recommendations we've made as a permanent commission, and these are very few of them. There's combat readiness, South African Army, human resource, you can see on the right-hand side there, combat readiness, enhancement of members' morale, we've spoken a lot about that issue. The medical health, the service and divisional chiefs, that's logistics, human resources and other issues. The filling of posts, we've spoken a lot about that, where there's a moratorium on the filling of posts, human resources and HR acquisition, the appropriate funding issues, we've spoken a lot about, at length about, with finance division, SecDef and the Chief Financial Officer. Then appropriate systemic transformation, and it's the transformation component of human resources. The appropriate people, SecDef and efficient functioning of human resource division. Again, the human resource and HR acquisition and HR systems component. Appropriate tools of trade within the logistics division and transport and commodities. Appropriate facilities and infrastructure. The death benefits and the group life schemes, we've been dealing with that issue. We've made lots of presentations about that. The latest is on course, we were looking at the group life insurance scheme, which we are outsourcing. One of the committee, and I think deputy chairperson, is, and one of the researchers is dealing with that issue. We've made presentations to the chief of the SANDF, and that's on course. And the cost of living adjustments, COLA, human resource division, we've spoken a little bit about that. I think that that in essence, co-chair, is what we've got. We did send you under separate, both electronically and hard copies, of all the list of our recommendations made over the years. This is just a brief summary. So you do have all of that. So I want to leave it at that. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Thank you so much, Mr. Robinson. I don't seem to have received this presentation. Pat, did you receive this presentation?
No, Chairperson.
Yes, the members are seeing it for the first time. So it's been difficult to follow, but at least the areas that we covered are still were loud and clear, so we're able to follow the areas. But as to the details and the things that you omitted mentioning, would unless we get the document, would not follow them as you were presenting them. So no, it's fine. But you know, at the bottom of in summary, we are saying you have made these recommendations, and if you were to give us the percentage of their recommendations that were accepted and implemented by the minister, what would you say is the percentage? And yeah, and then number two, the recommendations that were made in 2016, and the recommendations that were also made in 2017, they appear to be at the nub of all the issues that are actually affecting the soldiers, the members of the SNDF. We had a tour. We visited the Navy. We visited the Army base in Cape Town. We visited the Navy. We visited the Air Force, and we also visited the military hospital. And issues of integration, rank review, promotion, unfair labor practice, and of late we're getting emails on unfair dismissal. They seem to be at the center of what currently causes a lot of frustration amongst the members of the South African Defence Force. Now, my understanding was that your formation was in direct response to the discomfort, you know, that led to some protest amongst the members of the Defence Force, you know, based on issues of conditions of service and benefits. And in the wisdom of the leadership of the DOD, they decided to establish you so that you then investigate into these issues and make recommendations. But it worries me if these recommendations, are not, you know, if they get ignored. I mean, it worries me. And it also worries me that you had a meeting with the SecDef and expecting SecDef to take to heart some of the issues. And of course, you would see that in the manner in which they respond to these issues. But there has been no response since then. And then the question is, if they don't attach value to what you produce, and we still spend money on you, and why? And I think it's high time that we put this matter on the table and get the leadership of the DOD to just talk to us on this. There was a good reason why we established the Defence Service Commission. Good reason. But you are there to fulfill that that purpose. But somehow, what you put what you submit to them falls on deaf ears. But the Deputy Minister, at least, is here in the meeting, has listened to the submissions, has also listened to the frustration of the Service Commission, has also listened to frustrations in relation to procurement, and has also listened to frustration in relation to the budget, and has also listened to your frustration in relation to your staffing. I just want to leave it at that for now, and then open the floor up for discussion. I thought I should just make those few remarks. And but before I could do that, maybe I should take the deputy minister after you have asked the questions. You know, I think it's going to be better because he would be reflecting on both the presentations and the questions. Deputy minister, is that in order?
That's in order. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. Colleagues, I'm now opening it up for discussion. Right. I see Ryder. I see Marae. I see who? I don't see. Can I see other hands, please?
Go ahead.
Can I see other hands? Thabo Motle. I see Thabo Motle. Any other hand? All right. I have those three hands for now. Colleagues, you may comment on both the follow-up on the questions and also on the report as just been presented by Mr. Robinson. Over to you. I'll start with you, Mr. Ryder.
Thank you very much indeed, Chairperson. Mine really is a comment because I think that I want to emphasize what you're saying. It appears that essentially what's happened is that a watchdog body has been set up. If not a watchdog, it's a body to have some sort of control and be able to make recommendations. And yet the frustration is palpable. It's quite clear that their frustration, that their recommendations are ignored. It seems like the Secretary of Defense does not accept anything that they sent to him and doesn't even bother, by the sounds of things, doing much more than acknowledging receipt of these recommendations. So I do think that the DM needs to give some account for why the recommendations or the correspondence is not attended to. And why the commission is not taken seriously, because quite clearly there are morale problems. Quite clearly the commission has done its job. We've just gone through that list of recommendations that have been put forward. And I'd like to just agree with you, Chair. I spent half the time during the presentation going through my emails to check how I'd missed that and have found that it hasn't been sent out. So if we can have that last list, that document, because I think it contains a number of things, and I do certainly believe that the Department of Defense needs to come before the committee and give account as to whether they've applied their minds. Now, I'm very sure, and I've had a look at the Act while we were talking as well, and the Defense Department doesn't need to respond directly. They don't need to indicate, whether they are taking the recommendations into account. They must just apply their minds to these. So that's what we need the Department of Defense to do, is to come to us and say, we've applied our minds, and these are the reasons why we haven't accepted the recommendations, or we partly accepted and we're working on, etc., etc. I mean, the chairperson used words like redundant in referring to the commission when he was answering our questions. And I mean, I can go into detail on the questions. I don't want to. I think that we really need for the minister and the deputy minister and the Department of Defense to come to us and tell us what they see as the role of the commission is and why, in spite of there being a law passed through this parliament to give this commission some sort of standing, they've chosen to ignore the commission. And perhaps, Chair, based on that outcome, perhaps we need to have a look at amending the law in order to give this little watchdog a few more teeth. That's my input. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, what is said. Honourable Murray.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will not elaborate too much on what you and Mr. Ryder has said, except to say that we must just remember that the Reserve Force is part of those members of the National Defence Force, or not only the Permanent Force members, because one might
quite in the process, forget about their role. And when we invite the Department of Defense to comment on this, I would suggest and make a recommendation or request that we most certainly request the Chief of the South African Reserve Force, Lieutenant General Anderson, to also come and present to us, because I know that they are affected more than often in a different way or even a worse way than our ordinary members of our National Defence Force. Saying that, I also just wanted to elaborate on what has been said about the accommodation in Tabatwane. I remember in the 5th Parliament, the Portfolio Committee did an oversight there, and at that stage we were totally appalled by the conditions of the accommodation facilities. And I recall at that stage the reason was given that, you know, this whole process between, or the conflict between Department of Public Works and the Defence Force Works Formation, in terms of who's doing what, who's funding what, who's from whose budget is it, etc. So that was totally unacceptable. The other thing that is of importance to me, and that maybe not over the years, but make it a more real and today issue, the role of the Defence Service Commission, and that deals with the current deployment of our soldiers under the COVID-19 regulations and instructions. So many of the queries and the concerns that we have received is, first of all, equipment, proper equipment for them to be deployed and with the support of which they must do their work. That is of high question. Then also the whole issue of the caring and the accommodation of our members, whether it's reserve force or permanent force members. Chair, you will remember that I think it was yesterday that we spoke about how our soldiers are exposed to COVID-19 viruses, how they are accommodated, how they are not quarantined correctly, how they are sleeping in hangars, etc. And obviously one must know to what extent that the Service Commission is involved in that. Also, what we know currently is that our members have for many, many years not been providing service in urban areas. So to what extent does the Service Commission play a role to make sure that our members who are now being deployed do receive the proper training or orientation constantly to make sure that they can adapt to the current situation? On the whole matter of the staff and promotions, there is a lot of questions that comes up, and I have received some queries where promotions of lieutenants to captains have been approved long time ago. We don't see them, that they are being implemented, and even I've seen letters from the minister where she has approved that, and it's still not been implemented. To what extent does the Service Commission play a role there to make sure that the well-being of our members are looked after? I fully agree that it makes no sense for us to have a Defence Service Commission, and there's the perception that some leaders in the Defence Force are being arrogant and is basically deciding what they want to and will accept and will follow. That is just not acceptable. So I fully agree with Chair, with you and Mr. Ryder, that we have to get into this and resolve this as soon as possible. It's in the interest of our country and our citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Mr. Mutle?
Thank you, Chair. And I want to start by indicating that it is a bit unfair for us to interact with those recommendations, because we only saw them. They have not been shared with us before. However, Chair, the chairperson has raised an issue of not succeeding with meetings with the Secretary of for the Defense, which I want us to take a posture as the committee that will be backed by legislation, because the commission reports or recommend directly to the minister, not to the Secretary of Defense. Therefore, it is on that basis that we must channel our energies towards ministry in terms of them accounting on these recommendations that are recommended to the minister directly. It is the minister who must be able to take us into confidence. What are the challenges in terms of implementation of those recommendations, respectively, where they find challenges? Because it is minister's prerogative to instruct the FECDEF to implement some of this recommendation upon internalizing them and seeing the needs for them to be implemented. If the minister does not agree with those recommendations, equally reasons must be furnished. Why are they not implementing? Why are they not agreeing? I mean, we should treat the commission similar to the ombudsman, who does recommend directly to minister, not to affect them or anyone in the department. Therefore, I think that's what we need to do. If there is anybody to account on the implementation of this recommendation, it must be the minister. No one else can come, and unless if there are delegation, but I don't know what kind of delegation will be delegated, because the commission directly recommends and report to the minister, no one else. So yeah, I wanted to just share that with you, Chair, so that going forward, when we want to address particular law, we need anybody to account or give more insight as to how far they in terms of this recommendation. The first person to account on those will be the minister. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, you are right, Honorable Mutle. Let me draw your attention to Section 62B, 4 of the Act. The Minister, the Defence Act, the Minister determines the conditions of service for members of SANDF in consultation with the Minister of Finance after having received a recommendation from the commission, meaning this commission. So in other words, the client of the Defence Service Commission is the minister, who has the authority in terms of the law to make a determination as to the conditions of service. Obviously, she does that after consulting her colleague, the Minister of Treasury. We understand why she must consult Treasury. It's because should there be financial implications, both of them must agree and decide how they would fund whatever recommendations that may need to be funded. So we understand in that context. Colleagues, we are right. Are there any hands so far? Let me recognize the hands. Sandra Bucas, just hold. Let me jot your name down, Miss Bucas. Any other? This is the last round, colleagues. I don't want to drag this meeting because the matters are very clear. The commission has tabled these recommendations, and but the department has not come to the party. Yes, but to a limited extent. But you'll hear that when they respond to your questions. Any other? I've seen your hand there, Ms. Bucas. Any other hand? Any other hand? All right. It doesn't look like there's any other hand so far. And Ms. Bukas, let me ask you to make your comment before I, you know, refer matters to both the DM and Mr. Robinson. Over to you, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, Honorable Mare raised the issue of the living conditions at Thaba Tshwane. But it's about humanity, and as far as possible, Chair, we can't allow our people to live in such conditions. So can we as the committee have the reports on the findings to see what is the status of the recommendations? Or see, did the department even imply their mind on some of the recommendations?
Sure.
Chair, my second one is with specific reference to the non-responsiveness of the SecDef. What are the tools in place to monitor the progress or implementation on the reports or recommendations made to the minister and the cooperation from the department? And then lastly, Chair, is there any specific reason for the Northern Cape to not have a commissioner? Thank you.
You are muted.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ryder. May I double check if I'm really done with your members? Is anyone who still wants to make a comment to ask a question? Because before I switch to the minister, the deputy minister, and the chair of the commission. All right. This is what the colleagues are done. And, right. Who do I start with? I'm tempted to start with you, Mr. Robinson. Right? And just deal with the questions that are directed to you. And then once you are done, I will then ask the DM to make a final comment on these matters. Over to you, Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I must say that all these questions are really, really useful in for us to develop a better understanding of the concerns of all the members of Parliament in this committee, both the Portfolio Committee, I heard some of those questions, and now in the John Stanley Committee. Because I get a sense that they really want to try and assist us. We need to put some of the issues squarely on the table and try and find a way for all of us to move forward and resolve some of these issues. I would initially like the Deputy Chairperson, Commissioner Sapolosa. I'll come in at the end, if I may, but Deputy Chair, Commissioner Sapolosa, she's also been with the commission. This is her second stint in the commission. So she's been with the commission already 5 years, and most probably 6 years, now 5 years now. She's going into a sixth year. The issue around the number of recommendations that were accepted, and if we need the assistance of one of the researchers, Mr. Magabani. Can I ask Commissioner Sapolosa to come in, please?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank
yes,
you.
Yes, welcome, Deputy Chair.
Thank you. I'm battling to unmute the video, so if I may be, I may apologize. I'm not sure why it's not coming up, but. Good afternoon to the honourable members and the two chairpersons alike. And may I also say good afternoon to the deputy minister. Chairperson, I will respond to the questions that are raised, and also, if I may, also at the outset apologize for the latter part of the document that was not made available on time. And maybe let me start off by commenting on that and say that on concentration on it, the members will notice that that dashboard is the manner in which we get feedback or should get feedback from the department. The robot indicates, you would have seen, whatever is green is supposed to have been achieved. But it's also important for me to say that the time of the, it is an old dashboard, and it is a dashboard that looks at the commission, the interim commission's recommendations. So to a very large extent, some of the things have been done, others have not been done because of the finances, and where it is read, they have not been achieved yet. So having said that, if it is permissible, we do have a dashboard that should talk to the current era, because that one talks to the interim commission, which was on board for 5 years. Then the inaugural full-time commission was there for 5 years, and we are now in the second. So it's like going into it's 11 years now of the existence of the commission from the interim. So to get back to the question specifically, if I can start with Member Ryder, your question with regards to the amendment, let me say upfront that the Commission is in the process of looking into amending and making submissions in order for the Act to be amended. And approval by the previous PC was given, and the Minister also did give us the okay that we must look into the amendment of the Act in order to enable that what we submit is to a very large extent either, as you say, accepted if it is correct. If not, if it's not accepted, we must know why and understand maybe if there may be alternatives. So it is a process that we are now working on, and we hope to accelerate that process and record it for it to be processed through Parliament. On the issue of Tabatswane, Member Marae, we are indeed in agreement with everything you have cited. As a commission, we also did visit Tabatswane. We did get to interact with the soldiers at different levels. We inspected their spaces. We took pictures. We did submit recommendations. It's one of those we do not have feedback on yet. With regards to our involvement with regards to COVID, it is our work. It falls squarely within our responsibilities to have done that, but we have not done that. We have not been directly involved. What we have done towards the end of last month was to send a submission requesting that we start doing visits to do exactly what you are asking as to whether we have done or not. And we have had responses. I think in a time very soon, hopefully in the next week or two, we will be getting a presentation on an update which would be intended to give us the picture of where are they, where do they stay, how and what, which would serve as a yardstick that would then enable us to divide ourselves and spread and go to the different places to inspect for ourselves and interact with the soldiers. With regard regards to staff promotion, it is one of our responsibilities. And if you make or take a closer look at our recommendations, it is also one of those that has come out of the work of both the interim and ourselves. It remains a thorny issue. It remains an issue, and I guess the frustration of the commission really, knowing that a recommendation is there and the implementation thereof has really been a problem. So while I may not be able to confirm what was said around specific letters and individuals, for us, that is the kind of feedback that we look to have, and more engaging even on the robot, because with the robot, we have frustrations with it. We feel it doesn't say much. You will also, on close inspection thereof, see that the finding is very specific, the recommendation is very specific, but the feedback does not talk or address the action in a manner that says, okay, this is done, we are happy, let's move on to the next, or part of it is done, we still have this outstanding. So in a way, it's also a mechanism that does not work. And I must say to you that this is something that we addressed with the minister. The minister did invite the SECDEF, and the minister said, we must go and find a way that works for us. And that workshop to engage on what will satisfy how the response should come has not taken place, for reasons that the chair has also expressed earlier. Member Mute, I'm not sure whether you said you didn't interact with the entire document, but if it is about the latter part of the document, I think the commission, apologizes for not making the document available, and it is something that should not happen, and we will make sure that it doesn't. And as I said earlier, I did indicate that we will include the latter part of what you don't have should cover the whole spectrum up until the inaugural commission, because there should be a dashboard to that effect. And with regards to Member Sandra Biekes on the living conditions in Tabatswana and humanity, we couldn't agree with you more. You asked as to whether there are tools to monitor and evaluate. This term of the commission, we have identified and set up a monitoring and evaluation function. It is one of our responsibilities, and it is a responsibility that we have not gone far with, but we hope to set it up in a manner that would enable us also to monitor and evaluate the recommendations and the implementation thereof. And the other question, is there a reason for the Northern Cape not to have a commissioner? Let me say upfront, our appointments are based and are conducted by the minister and the department. I may not be best positioned to respond to that, but my attempt towards responding to that is that it is not my understanding that the commissioners are appointed per province, because in the previous commission, there were even an overrepresentation, if you want to say it's according to provinces. I don't think it's according to provinces, but I think it is a question best asked and will be best responded to by the ministry and the department. I don't know if there's anything, Chair, that I have left out that any of my colleagues and as well as the researchers may want to add on with regards to the responses to the questions. The researchers may be more specific as they work information. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, Deputy Chair. And back to you, Chair, before I hand over to the DM.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to just ask one of the researchers, do they want to comment anything in terms of the dashboard? Or do they want to leave it for now? To Magabani in particular?
Thank you. I think the Deputy Chair covered everything that needs to be covered, because again, as she said, there will be some additions as well with the document that we're going to send to the members present. So there's no addition.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Thanks very much. Just finally, Co-Chair, I think from our side it's been a very useful engagement. We've laid some of the issues on the table, and I suppose we need to find a way that is a win-win situation. I always approach difficulties with a win-win. And I think that the members' comments about assisting us with looking at a revising of the Defence Act is a very important one. We've suggested that the ministers given a go-ahead, the chief of the SANDF has given a go-ahead, and as I indicated right in the beginning, in the forward to our present annual report, which has just been finalised, that point is made by the minister and it's made by the chief of the SANDF, that we need to find a way to look at whether it's possible to amend the Defence Act or not, what are the issues around that, and we have a full-on discussion. So from that point of view, it's really useful. And I think the other issue is that the members of the committee begin to understand a bit more of the nuances of the Defence Force Service Commission. Yes, bear in mind that all of us are part-time commissioners, none of us are full-time, so most of the other commissioners do have full-time jobs as well. So there's a limit in terms of what we can do. That's not an excuse, it's just a reality. That's why we would want to beef up the secretariat, and we would want to involve yourselves in that kind of discussion too. But I think for now, Co-Chair, I think we've explained the issues, and just to also state that we did send all the documents over the last few weeks to Mr. Daniels, right? He might not have always passed them on to the secretary for the committee, but we've passed all of the findings and all of the recommendations on. Maybe what didn't happen is the consolidated list, but certainly you have all that information, and indeed both electronic and hard copies we've sent. So I think from that point of view, we can really move on, and if there was some neglected something, I need to take responsibility and apologise for that on behalf of the Commission. I want to leave it at that, Co-Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, thank you so much, Mr. Robinson. No, it's fine. We will try and retrieve the document from our side. I have no reason to doubt that you would have submitted it to us. I think there might have been a slip up in our own committee processes. So I will look at that. DM, just before I ask you to come in, the commission is established in terms of, I think, Section 62 of the Defence Act, as was amended in 2010, and the functions of the Defence Service Commission includes, amongst other things, making recommendation on an annual basis on the improvement of salaries and service benefits of members, to make recommendations to the minister on policies in respect of conditions of service, and three, promote measures and set standards to ensure the effective and efficient implementation of policies on conditions of service within the Defence Force, and make recommendations to the minister in this regard. And lastly, the Defence Force Service Commission has the responsibility to exercise oversight over the implementation of the recommendations made and submitted to the executive authority for consideration. And it is in this context that today we have asked the Defence Service Commission to come and give on the recommendations that they have submitted to the executive authority, and of course indicating those that were accepted and implemented, and those that were not accepted and not implemented, and the reasons given of non-acceptance and the non-implementation of the recommendations. It was critical that we call for this presentation, DM, because in the visit that we have taken on the basis that on those bases that I mentioned above, Army, Navy, and the Air Force, and also the visit to the military hospitals, we made it a point that we would meet with the full soldiers, not the top docs, but the full soldiers. In the meeting with the full soldiers, the full soldiers, we received the issues that I enumerated above. You know, when I opened my the meeting, issues ranging from integration and you know, discrimination and ranks and non-promotion and all of that. And it so happened that these matters coincide with the matters that the commission has conducted an investigation into and made recommendations to the minister. And so today we want to know what is holding the department back in terms of you know, addressing some of the issues. Some issues date back to the time even before the commission was established, and they are the reasons why the commission was actually established by law, in other words by parliament. We would have hoped that those matters would be addressed by now, at least some measures, you know, a significant part of them, because they are not just issues of, you know, nice to have. Some matters, some issues that were raised with us are issues that really go into the conditions of service and benefits that would think that they shouldn't really go to street and fight about, and because they deserve them. And so it is in that context that we are holding this meeting today. Let me thank all the commissioners who have joined this meeting to give us this presentation, and then say, one, we expect you, Mr. Robinson, to update the record, to consolidate all the recommendations and give the status of each one of them. In other words, to update the dashboard, so that when we meet with the executive authority, we have the latest document and to have a discussion on. Having said that, let me now invite the DM, who is going to take us right till the end of the meeting. DM, over to you.
Our joint chairperson, thank you very much for the also to thank the members of the commission for the report they have tabled to the committee today, the information shared, the chair and the deputy chair of the commission. Chairpersons, I want to start, and I think it is appropriate, by issuing a caveat that the comments I am going to make would have limitations because the commission functions under the supervision of the minister, or the commission reports to the minister. And even as I was coming to this meeting without documentation made available, I was, you know, foolishly assuming that there would be no need for my office to comment on these matters because the minister would be there to share with the committee all the necessary information, because indeed the minister has a lot of organizational memory around the work of this commission. She is the repository of that memory over of almost a whole decade, a whole 10 years. And I was really leaning on the minister's presence to cover my ignorance of some of the challenges. Having said that, listening to the reports, the information shared, and the comments by the members of the committee, I am under no doubt that the unsatisfactory level of performance around the work of the commission with respect to the implementation of the recommendations the commission has been making may well be genuinely a function of the low level of resources of the Department of Defense. Issues around the remuneration levels, issues around the conditions of service as the members articulated, the commissioners articulated them, and the members also articulated them. That is a syndrome that is, I think, appreciated by all of us. And over the last two decades, the defense budget has been on a downward spiral the way it has been. There's no way that the syndrome of infrastructure that is derelict that we are talking about, conditions that are impacting on the levels of morale of the troops, that these problems would not arise. But secondly, to say that I am actually encouraged by what has been said in relation to us getting the situation to improve. The commission has indicated that they previously did not have a machinery or a function within their own body that is responsible for monitoring and evaluating the implementation of their recommendations, something which they now have addressed. I'm happy that capacity is there. Of course, I do note that with respect to the researchers, they still do not have them in the numbers that they require. And that speaks just to the capacity of the commission to do what it is mandated to do. With respect to how the department has been responding and the ministry has been responding to this matter, it does and it must worry all of us that, as the Honorable Member Ryder was saying, the commission seem not to be enjoying the place of importance that its mandate suggests. I may just make the point that, you know, right at the beginning when the commission was established, it was part of the institutional design which, among others, was intended to obviate the need of unions within the armed forces, that the conditions of service and the remuneration matters should not be matters which the soldiers have to use their numbers, their bargaining power to have them addressed. It would be civil and responsible that we have a professional body that takes that burden from the shoulders of the soldiers and gets their needs to be addressed without them having to mobilize and to engage their employer. And that is why they are not part of the decisions of the Public Service Central Bargaining Chamber. And of course, it is a sensitive matter if the recommendations of the commission do not gain traction. Because if that is the syndrome and it's been going on for a while, I think we ourselves as leaders, the ministry, the commission, members of parliament, the portfolio committee, I mean the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, we must make it a point that we draw sufficient attention to this unacceptable situation. The recommendations of the commission must be seen to be done, to be implemented, to be taken serious, to carry weight. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves in the kind of space that we actually thought we were operating. There is, again, another matter, joint chairs and members of the committee, which is that in my observation, the commission has also been, of course, directed to matters which do not squarely fall within their purview, in my opinion, for the simple reason that in their nature, they are very much part of the responsibilities and the functions of the leadership of the Defense Department and the leadership, the commanders of the South African National Defense Force. And these are matters such as the challenges around the rejuvenation of the Defense Force, putting in place, among other components of that effort, an exit mechanism that is very credible and that is known by everyone, and that makes sure, as we're discussing the other day, that the organization does take a pyramid shape. Now, these are matters which I think, in terms of just the numbers of people, technicians who must gather around them, the commission would not have that capacity to deal with these issues. There are issues, in my view, that are better dealt with within the division human resource of the South African Defense Department. And if the commission is expected to do anything about them, it would be in collaboration with the Human Resource Division of the South African National Defense Force, because indeed the issues are quite important. and they need the professionals to be, you know, engaged with them. The other matter, of course, is the issue, which is, and these are long-standing matters I'm aware of, the delinking of salaries from ranks. Also, it's a very important matter, and I know the defense leadership has been seized with it, but the human resource division of the Department of Defense has to make it a point that it addresses this issue about the linking of salaries with rank. Of course, the commission is an interested party and can participate in that project. However, my sense is that it would be better efficiently executed if it is anchored within the DOD Human Resource Division. The other one is, of course, the issue around the incentivizing exit, termination of service in order to help bring down the average age cohort of our defense, you know, of our troops. That matter also is a matter that the commission will necessarily have to rely on the division human resource of the Department of Defense. The other matter is the MSDS program. The MSDS program in relation to job tenure of these cadets, the issues are also not simple and straightforward. They involve a whole host of issues around how the human resource supply is procured for the Defense Force and how it is released and what happens in between, issues that they have referred to about ongoing training. So what I'm saying is that it could be that as a result of lack of movement of the Department of Defense management on these critical human resource issues, there is now opportunistically a temptation to want to direct them to the Service Commission, and I think it would be unfair to burden them with that responsibility. There is an indication, Chair, that a workshop has been agreed to with the Secretary for Defense or with the Defense Department by the Commission. I will make it a point that my office follows this matter up with the Secretary for Defense, and we get to establish how soon that workshop can be organized to make it a point that all of these issues, which it would appear the suggestion out there is that they've been on the table for the longest time and there's been no movement around them. Where there is, or where there are objective problems of lack of resources, or lack of funding to deal with the issues, we must be able to explain as the Department of Defense all those constraints, and it would not be something that is held against the department. Objective reality is objective reality, but similarly, it should be a workshop that is able also to expose subjective failures, if indeed there are subjective failures. Because subjective failure, it means poor performance, and poor performance has to be addressed. The issue around the Tabatswane, I just noted that something has been said here that there was uncertainty as to who is responsible for these maintenance issues of roads and whatever else infrastructure there. The provision of services to Tabatswane, originally assumed that the municipality is responsible, and it appears later on we established that that is not the case. I would not be surprised if Tabatswane, is the conditions or the state of affairs of Tabatswane is not a function of the failures of the Tshwane municipality. If Thaba Tshwane is a military village of the South African Defence Force, because what it means is that Thaba Tshwane is actually a private, it's a private settlement. Its services cannot be the responsibility of the municipality. The department has to be responsible for that village. But this is something which I will have to ascertain exactly what the situation is with respect to that. Because the conditions of living of members cannot be South Africans, our government cannot be so opportunistic and heartless. Expect volunteers, citizens who have volunteered to serve in an organization, to work for an employer who at some point in the course of executing their duties, they must also give out, they're even ready to submit, to make the supreme sacrifice for which they will not actually even be paid for. But allow on an ongoing basis these citizens to execute and to perform their duties under very, bad conditions. It is very unacceptable. It's something that we need to address. That, Chair, would be my remarks with respect to the information shared. As I said, I came to the meeting not even worried that I would be expected to say anything. I was prepared for the discussion which we had prepared for today, which was the discussion of the reserve forces and which we had received documentation for. In the interest of flexibility, because flexibility is the name of the game, I said I will go to the meeting, but I don't think my office will be guilty of not delivering on what was expected of it. That's what, Chair, I can say, and that's what I can say, Honourable Members. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Your presence serves a good purpose, especially that you are part of the executive. You're part of the ministry, and that you're sitting in and listening to the discussions, both the presentations and the discussions, helps in that it leaves us with the comfort that when you find time with the minister, you share the outcome of this meeting. So for now, I will just leave it at that. And then mine is to then thank you, DM, for being part of the meeting. Thank you very much. It's always, we always appreciate your presence, and it's very useful. And it gives us some anchor, so to speak. And Mr. Robinson, the chair of the commission, thank you very much for your presentation today. And in your, was it in 2016 document, you couched your vision as follows, open quote, a world-class advisory commission on military conditions of service, close quote. And then on your mission, this is what you say, open quote, to provide quality advice to the Minister of Defense in pursuit of a better life for soldiers, close quote. It is clear who you are existing for. You were put in place solely to address issues that go into the morale of the soldiers. I think DM was able to put it succinctly, how you came about and what role you are fulfilling in the establishment. I'm not going to repeat that. Ms. Sapolisa, the acting chair, the deputy chairperson, thank you very much for your contribution today. And I also want to extend my word of appreciation to all the commissioners who were able to take their time out of their busy schedule to come and be part of this meeting. I want to pledge that the committee will be seized with these matters. You are the creation of the of statute. In other words, creation, you are created by Parliament. So when you get frustration, it must be to Parliament that you must run to say, look, we were created, but we are finding it difficult to operate. And you obviously give reasons why you find it difficult to operate. One of the reasons you expressed right at the beginning is the issue of staffing. That your organogram provides for 64 posts, but you only have 19 posts approved and funded, but you only have 16 filled. And adding salt to the wound is that critical posts are lowerly graded. And so we are taking note of that. And then two is the issue of funding. I know that the issue of funding it puts you in the same boat with everyone else. Everyone else in government is complaining about the extent to which they are unable to meet all their targets because of underfunding or cuts due to cost containment. And then three was the issue of procurement, but I didn't hear you say procurement, the OD is using procurement that is unused in elsewhere. But you're saying it's just a challenge.